And good morning, Salem. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood this March 5th. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. So excited to share this day with you. Yes, it's the day the Lord has made, and you and I, guess what? We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. We've got a beautiful show ahead of us today, and I want to just kind of go over some of the headlines that are hitting close to home today. Of course, a lot going on right here in Salem, the capital of Oregon, as we have the senators and the Republicans that have walked out in protest and in more or less like on strike because of the bully tactics of the supermajority, where they're really not able to work the process as it's intended. And so in the headlines, I found this in the Eastern Oregon newspaper. It says, "It's hard to argue that truckers haven't been the loudest opponents of the cap and trade in Oregon. Their protests bellowed down the streets of Salem at the Timber Unity rally last month with a long line of trucks rumbling through the Capitol. Their blasting horns sounding the alarm for the people like Shelley Solomon of Astoria, who works for her father's company, Gedenberg Logging Trucking Company. She outlined the company's financials for lawmakers at a hearing on Senate Bill 1530, explaining how much more she was expecting to pay for the diesel needed to fuel her company's 10 log trucks. Oregon's cap and trade bill would make gasoline and diesel, along with other fossil fuels, more expensive. In the case of gasoline and diesel, it would require fuel companies to pay for the greenhouse gas emissions coming from their product. The idea is to use higher prices to steer business away from fossil fuels that are warming up the planet. Solomon and many other truckers say this leaves them with no choice but to pay more for fuel. And that, of course, those fuel costs will be passed on to the consumers. So right now, that's what's going on right here in Salem, Oregon. So we keep that in mindful and in prayer. And certainly, as we had heard from our good friend Jeff earlier in Political Coffee, they're gathering today up at the Capitol. You can bring some encouragement and reinforcement to Timber Unity up at the Capitol here in Salem. Our weather today, showers likely, high temperature about 57, overnight low right around 40 degrees. This is a fantastic day to celebrate spring right around the corner. Don't forget, we're going to spring ahead, right, on Sunday. Yes, you want to remember and kind of maybe take a nap or get a little extra sleep and prepare for that change, and that'll be happening on Sunday. Well, now I want to share with you a little bit of a biography and turn into what we're going to talk about today. And let me just ask you this question. Are you looking for more peace in your life? Do you wonder how you can develop the habits and character traits that will teach you when to say no to energy draining activities and say yes to becoming the person you've always longed to be? Then this next guest is going to speak right to your heart today. Cultivating Your Character. That's the book that she has written. Let me tell you a little bit about our friend Deanna. She is an Amazon best-selling author of the book Cultivating Your Character. She helps entrepreneurs gain the freedom they seek, from mental freedoms, financial freedoms, emotional freedoms. She's earned her Associate of Science degree in engineering, followed by a Bachelor's of Science degree in business administration. Deanna is a professional speaker on health and freedom coaching. She's worked 19 years in direct sales at owning her own business while homeschooling her two children. After a successful career helping women build confidence, Deanna now coaches upcoming entrepreneurs on how to succeed with excellence. You can also listen to her encouragement weeknights at 97.9 The Breeze radio station. She was born and raised in the Prairie State of North Dakota, and she's learned the importance of hard work, fun, and friends. She's called the Black Hills of South Dakota home for 25 years, and she really prides herself in maintaining peace in her daily life through finances, peace in decision-making, peace of mind, and peace in every part of her life. Now, let's see if we can pull her on the board here. Deanna, are you there with me? Let's see if we can get her. Okay, so let me work on bringing Deanna up through the board as we continue to talk about peace in our lives. I think it's important that we remember that. Okay, a little bit of a technical difficulty. Well, we'll just keep moving on until maybe the next segment I can get my engineer to help me bring Deanna up through my board. So as we continue on, that's the fun part about live radio is working together. Are you there, Deanna?
Can you hear me now?
Oh, there you are. Yay. You are in my first week helping me on radio get through the technology bumps and bruises of coming on live. So thank you for your patience. Deanna, I'm so excited to have you here to talk about peace. Talk about peace. Right there was a little episode that could have brought a little stress, but we got through it all right. And Deanna, you and I go back a few days or years, right?
I remember 25 years. I'm calculating. It's
yeah.
25 years already.
Oh my gosh. I remember the very first time I met you. I was working in the social service field and you signed up to be a mentor. Is that correct?
Yeah, with the Big Brother, Big Sister program.
Yes. And so tell us a little bit about where you're at and how you became a motivational speaker and author.
Oh my goodness. As I was remembering and recalling, you know, us meeting 25 years ago, of course, in the Big Brothers Big Sisters program, but also you introduced me to the self-improvement road journey, and by getting into a direct selling company together, and grew that for about 15 to 18 years. I forget the calculation there, but when I first moved to the area of Black Hills, I had some anger and bitterness kind of deep penetrated in my heart, and from past mistakes, which are all in my book, and I sometimes had to fake it till I got that false sense of peace. And it's amazing, you know, when you pray for patience, when you pray for peace, when you pray for different things. Isn't it funny how God answers prayer? I prayed for patience, and he sent me a husband, and then we had children.
Oh, that'll do it so every time.
Yep, and I felt called to homeschool them. So for about 17, 18 years, we did that. That's where I built my peace, just one day at a time, one step at a time. But then I remember being introduced Benjamin Franklin's 13 Virtues. Back in our day, one of the trainings that we went to, who knows where, and I had it deep down in my files. So when I was digging out information and files to have as a resource for my book, I dug down and found those again and went, this is what I'm basing my book on, are those 13 virtues. Character traits is what they are. And, some of them fit right in nicely with the fruit of the Spirit. And so that's what I based it on. And way back when, we were trained to focus on one of those character traits or focus on something that we wanted to improve in our lives. And the reason I focus on peace so much is about 4 or 5 years ago, so it was, heavy into my journey, I had a coaching call with someone, and they asked, what do you want more than anything else in the world? Well, there's so much to choose from. You could get a new car, you could get a house by the water, you could, get a yacht. There's lots of physical, economical things that you could choose. I re-listened to the question, and the question asked, what do you want in you more than anything else in the world? Mm-hmm. And at that time, it was peace, because peace encompasses so much. Peace encompasses, like you read my intro, my bio, the peace can be in your finances. The peace can be in your mental state. It can be in your parenting. It just covers everything. So that's what I really focus on is choosing that peace. You could be driving down the highway. I remember when I first moved here, and, of course, all my college years, I would get so angry at the people that were driving stupid. And I have learned over the years, I don't know if it's just been listening to different other motivational speakers, but I've practiced and just think about other people that are driving like idiots and we don't know what they've just walked through. Mm-hmm. They may have just come out of the hospital of losing a person in their lives. They may have been diagnosed with cancer, and they are not focused. They're probably teary-eyed. They can't even see straight. I remember driving home from the clinic one time while I was really sick, and I got home and laid in bed, and I don't remember the drive. So we don't know what other people are going through. So when we choose to not lose our peace for other people that we don't have a clue what they're walking through and what their, you know, their issues are, we're able to maintain our peace and have less stress in our lives.
That's really good, because one of the things I learned early on as well, and it reminds me, in fact, you and I have had a mentor in our life, JD the DJ, John Derrick, early instilled in me that other people don't, you know, you have a choice to respond to how other people are. They don't do anything to you. You have a choice. Your power is the choice of responding to that, and you just hit that perfectly, because we don't know where they're coming from. We don't know what their day how it's affecting them. And I think that's a great point. And so as a mother and a wife, and I know your husband for many years had his own business, and you were building your own business, and then you were homeschooling. You know, the thing that I remember most, and when I think of you, Deanna, is joy. Not only peace, but joy. When you come into a room, you affect people with your presence. And I know that's a lot because of where you are with your faith and your relationship with God. And how does that affect your peace?
Like I said, years ago, it used to be fake. It used to be false joy. And, you know, you go home and vomit all over your family. The negativity that you're carrying. And yeah, everything is a choice. And one of the things that I try to enunciate on my show in the evenings is what we think about, we bring about. And we are the accumulation of what we read, watch, and hear. So if we are constantly putting negativity into our minds, we're listening to negative news, that's what's going to come out. But even as we look at the different fruits of the Spirit, they're planted inside of us as a believer, as a faith-filled person. And all we have to do is develop them. They're already given to us. So when I was praying for peace or patience, it was almost useless, senseless to pray for it because it's already inside of us. What we need to ask is develop it. And he did. He gave me children. So when I look back at, raising the kids, you know, homeschooling, I think about, you know, the things that we listen to and how it affects others or how it affects ourselves. Parents can probably relate to this all the time. When we talk about doing the things that we talk about, our kids come out and tell exactly what we just talked to them last week.
Oh my, that is so very true. And we're going to come up in the next segment, Deanna, and we're going to talk about how you've influenced and are currently influencing women with this message of peace. You're listening to KSLM News, Reliable News Talk Radio. Stick around and we will get back to that next segment with Deanna Beckett, author, motivational speaker, and more importantly, a friend. Good morning, Salem. Thank you for tuning in on this wonderful Thursday. Yes, high temperature expected today to be 57 overnight, low about 40. Showers likely today, so you want to grab that jacket, that light jacket. You know, what I've noticed about being here in Oregon, people don't grab umbrellas as much as they do. They're just kind of used to the showers and the light rain, and I'm okay with that. I love the climate here. I am a Salem native, went to high school here, and I've been back about 2 months, not quite 2 months yet, and I love it here. I love the weather, and I love the people of Salem. And we are talking right now with author, motivational speaker, and my friend, Deanna Beckett. And Deanna, I'm curious, do you watch football?
A little bit. It depends on who's playing.
Yeah. Did you watch the Super Bowl this last Super Bowl and watch the halftime entertainment? I sent you this article, and it's reporting that over 1,300 FCC complaints were filed over the Super Bowl entertainment halftime show, filed over the softcore, what they're calling it, porn. And, you know, I think sometimes as women, as we grow up and we're playing with the dolls and maybe the baby dolls, we have this image that through our looks and our beauty, that's where we get our power. I'm curious about your thoughts on that, and I want to transition into how you're equipping women. In fact, you just held this wonderful women's conference. Kind of what's on your heart to empower and equip women?
Certainly. You know, I didn't watch the Super Bowl. I listened to the boys downstairs kind of holler and whoop when touchdowns would happen, and then after a while they just shut it off. But I watched on Facebook all of the backlash to the halftime show. So I had to go watch the halftime show. I YouTubed it and watched it. And you know, to be honest, we have been exposed to this type of, I don't even know what you'd call it, like you said, you know, soft porn, that it really did not even affect my eyes and ears because it's so, you know, overdone and constant that at my age and, you know, through college, and I've got college age kids now, it honestly did not sit with me as negatively as had I had small children. Because I think we're so immune to it. What is that word that we're just, it's ingrained in us that it's normal. Mm-hmm. And like the article said, it's, you know, what we've accepted over all these years. And, yeah, it may not be as bad as the, you know, Janet Jackson incident, which I never did see. And, of course, they never did film that to be watched any other time. But, yeah, our culture has, you know, deteriorated and gone downhill. And I do feel that I feel for parents with young kids who do just want to watch, you know, a TV show on primetime TV and not be bombarded with the filth and the yuck that our society has deemed normal. So I totally understand where, you know, the complaints are coming from. And if we don't speak out, we're not going to be heard. I tell a lot of my friends, you know, we have been the silent majority, you know, the conservative, typically, you know, family values.
Mm-hmm.
We've been the silent majority for so long that we're just used to, you know, everything kind of going, okay, come on, come back to normal, come back to base, that the small percentage of, you know, the squeaky wheels are getting the attention. And we need to rise up as a movement of conservatives, of parents, of family values, and start putting our foot down.
Well, and that's exactly it, because it's the message. You know, everything's about messaging. And as conservatives, it's about hitting that message consistently in a way that says, hey, why? What makes this normal? What makes this, for my now eight-year-old granddaughter, she turned eight yesterday, Chloe, what makes this look normal in her eyes is that as she's growing into her, to be a young woman, that, oh, she must dress a certain way or have her hair a certain way to be accepted or have that power of influence, when indeed equipping us, we need to be as beautiful on the inside as we are on the outside, and equipping us with, like you said, the spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all those fruits of the spirit. And what I love about what you're doing, and through the influence of your book, Cultivating Character, and again, Benjamin Franklin's principles, that you're again reminding people that our founding fathers and the forefathers and mothers before us, those things, even though our kids might say they're old school, that's old school mm-hmm. thought, they're principles based on the Bible, who, with a Christian worldview, these things help us develop character and help us develop influence. And these are the things we want our kids to be reminded of. How do you share that with women when you're doing conferences? Tell me how that works for you.
Sure. Most of the time, it's interwoven in different keys that I share. It depends on who I'm talking to. Depends on the conference, because I try to, you know, fit the theme of the conference, or fit it into my talk. But usually I pick, you know, two or three keys to focus on. Maybe it's peace and perseverance. There's a lot of P words that work for different points in keynotes. But basically, you know, talking about the choices that we make and the habits that we set every day, they're boring. They're the non-sexy part of what you see at the end. I think I read a meme the other day that said, don't be jealous of the person who is in their successful season when we are just at the beginning of our struggle season, because it's not a fair comparison. Same way as, you know, let's say, you know, a brand new college student who is just getting started and you know, stumbling through developing their personality, their character. Sometimes they can't be compared to, you know, someone who has years and years of biblical maturity, but you'll get there. And it's just a matter of keeping on that daily regimen. You know, the basketball star, oh my gosh, I just forgot his name.
Kobe Bryant?
No, the other one, the big one. Oh. Anyway, there was years of failures. There was, you know, how many shots do they take to get to the point where they're consistently making the shots? They go through years and years, that daily practice of running up and down the court, shooting the basket, shooting, missing, 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 and then finally they're hitting it. And even an all-time, you know, the baseball players, how many do they miss before they become, you know, the MIPs?
You remember that saying, practice makes perfect? That's exactly what you're talking about there, Deanna. We're going to come back after this break, and Deanna and I are going to talk about being patriots and why it's so very important that we stand strong in our conservative values. You're listening to News Talk Radio, KSLM. Good morning, Salem. Good morning, Salem. You're listening to News You Can Use, KSLM News Talk Radio. I'm Stacey Ann. Glad to be along with you on this Thursday, where we're bringing encouragement, encouraging you to get engaged, education, and empowering. And don't forget, the time changes on this coming Sunday, so you may want to take a little nap or get a little extra sleep at night to prepare for that, right? Because it's always a little bit of a shift of getting used to lighter earlier in the time change. Want to also remind you, we are in this very, very political season, correct? Where on the mainstream news, you're hearing all the time about what's happening to position for the next presidential race, but also all the way down to the local races. And I want to tell you that if you're thinking about registering and you haven't registered, in fact, I encourage you to get registered. The primary here in Oregon is May 19th, and you need to register by April 28th to be able to vote in the primary. And then if you aren't going to be here, you can get an absentee ballot, and that request for the absentee ballot is May 14th. So keep those dates in mind. I also want to just kind of talk about this headline. Kind of interesting, as I've shared the last couple days, that there's something big going on at the Supreme Court. The justices there are hearing a case out of Louisiana where in the state of Louisiana, the legislators there have decided that it's important that the doctor performing abortion have visiting privileges, that they can follow the client from the abortion clinic if there's any issues onto the local hospital. And currently that is not taking place in Louisiana. So the legislators, who are told to protect the most vulnerable and their citizens there, thought it was in the best interest that these women have a doctor that cares for them if there's any issues. Well, that was blocked by the pro-abortion side, and now it's in the Supreme Court. And yesterday, there's quite an uproar as the Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer came after some of the justices, Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh, and gave a direct threat. And so with that, I think it's very important as conservatives that we take action, that we call upon our senators, our state senators, those here in Oregon. If you live in the other states and you're tuning in this morning, I encourage you to call your senators and encourage them to tell Chuck Schumer that this is unacceptable and probably a violation, right, of his role. And I wanted to get your feedback a little bit on that, Deanna. We have Deanna Beckett, author, motivational speaker, and more importantly, a friend on with us talking about cultivating character. Deanna, what are your thoughts on this? And let's talk a little bit about the state of the state of what's going on here in America.
Oh, my goodness. We could go on for hours, right?
Mm-hmm.
This week, I took a Facebook fast. I'll start with that. So I like actually being removed from the headlines and everybody's opinions on them.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite founding father, and I base my book on that, is Benjamin Franklin. And he said, the Constitution only gives people the right to pursue happiness. You have to catch it yourself.
Ooh, that's good.
And before the break, we talked about we as the silent majority have to step up and get louder. And, you know, we were talking, or had notes on just mentioning getting involved. Like you said, you know, call your representatives and senators. That's our closest means of having influence, even as far into Washington, D.C. And you guys are further away from Washington than we are. But it is so important to stay involved and get involved. And we have done that slowly over the years, my husband and I, and our kids, we've kind of drug into it, and they just kind of roll their eyes, but they still, you know, are registered and they vote. But we have probably 6 or 7 close friends that are representatives or senators in our state house and Senate. And it is really exciting to know that. So, you know, anybody else that is near you, we've got, different panels or different meetings that you guys have. We call them cracker barrels here. I don't know what you call them there. But go to them. Attend them. Get to know your legislators because they are the closest that you have to influencing. And there's a statistic about when one person contacts their representative or senator, it represents like, I think 20 to 50 people, maybe as high as 100,
mm-hmm.
that feel the same way. So when more of us are reaching out, talking to them, emailing them, calling them, telling them what we want and how we want change in a positive way, they take that seriously.
Now, you're a constitutional gal, and you've done your research, and you're studied up on the state of the state across the country, and you're also involved in a movement. Tell us a little bit about this movement. What's the Convention of States? Is that what you're involved in?
It is, and each state has a grassroots army that's building. And basically, we have the right as a state. If you go back to your constitution, most of us have little pocket constitutions. If you don't, they're everywhere, and I can probably get you in touch and get one mailed to you. But in the constitution is called Article 5. And in that, now we remember our, you know, our old civics classes of how a bill comes to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And it typically goes through Congress, and anything that we can amend goes through Congress. Well, Article 5 also gives the states power to bring amendments to discuss, and it's called a convention. We, as states, when we agree on one or a few specific topics, they all have to match or at least be within, you know, really similar wordage. Then when three-fourths of the states, just like three-fourths of Congress, when three-fourths of the states bring this same amendment discussion to agreement, then the Congress has to let us call a convention. And the three things that we're focusing on are the three things that Congress, our U.S. Congress, needs to get under control. We've got an issue with long-term representatives that have been in there too long, so we want to discuss term limits.
Mm-hmm.
We also want to discuss the overreach of the federal government. you know, things like education, EPA, that should be managed on a local level. And then the other one is, of course, making the Congress balance their budget. Mm-hmm. Most of the states that we are involved in have a balanced budget, and we need to call the, you know, call the Congress on the carpet. So being involved in this is basically constantly talking to our legislators at the local level, because it starts with us. And it's exciting because we can bring the power back to the people where it belongs. That's how the founding fathers set up the government. We want a smaller government, not a larger government.
And now on the Convention of States, I've heard talk on both sides, some folks that are a little nervous about this idea of the states calling a convention and amending and putting term limits and balanced budgeting and these overreach of the federal government. They're a little nervous because they think then it would also open up the door to put other things that aren't our ideals, our conservative ideals. How do you answer those concerns?
We have more of a risk. I mean, the Second Amendment comes up all the time. We have more of a risk of losing the Second Amendment with the current judicial system that's in effect. And we've seen things kind of come through there. With Convention of States, like I said, the verbiage has to be almost identical in all three-fourths of the states. Three-fourths of the states, I think my math is right, 34 states is. Anyway, my math is backwards. It has to be ratified by three-fourths. Two-thirds have to call it. There we go. And that's huge numbers. 34 states have to agree on one specific item. You know that 16 states are not going to push through and enforce the Second Amendment. Mm-hmm. 34 states are going to stand up against that.
Right.
So there's a lot of checks and balances in the system, and historically speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I usually tell people, and I always ask them, go back to how Article 5 is written, and what if we don't stand up and call this? That's what the founders put it in there for, is mm-hmm. for we to stand up and use it in such a time as this.
And you've gone to conferences stateside and, I believe, national is on this issue, have you not?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, we actually do. We hold different meetings locally. And then statewide, we go to our capital and testify in committee hearings. And then last year we went to the national conference and we're registered for this conference as well for this year.
That sounds fascinating to me. So if I understand what you're saying, each of the 34 states would have to make a declaration or a proclamation by maybe resolution that they,
yep.
on a convention that they want to call convention. How many states have done that thus far?
15.
Okay. So there's some work to be done then.
Yes, but we're almost halfway there. Within 5 years, that's pretty massive movement. And if people want to get involved, of course, locally in Oregon, they can go to conventionofstates.com and sign the petition, get involved, find one of their grassroots leaders.
That sounds amazing. And the important thing here, you mentioned about everybody having their pocket constitution, you know, their Bill of Rights and, you know, handy. And it's amazing how many times when in just discussion, people are like, I think I have a copy of that. I'm not quite sure. It might be sitting on a shelf somewhere. And I think it's important that we all grab ourselves a copy of it and get familiar with it and have it, because that really is, as an American, that's our foundation. And how we are a republic. And you hear in the headlines a lot of times, oh, the democracy. Well, that's not really what we are. We are a republic. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Google is a magic resource for everybody. So if you don't have a pocket constitution, it's all online, and it's easy to access. And it's just a matter of being involved, staying involved. But the first step is, getting online or making a phone call.
That sounds great. More with Deanna when we come back. You're listening to KSLM News Talk Radio.
Hey, you in the corner.
Good morning, Salem. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann, and you're listening to KSLM News Talk Radio. So glad to be along with you on this Thursday. And it's going to be a great day. You might want to grab that jacket. It's going to be a little rainy here in the area. And certainly the temperature's warming up, high of 57 overnight, low about 40. So we've been talking to my friend Deanna Beckett, and she is the author of Cultivating Your Character. And I love this. She takes her readers on an incredible journey, first back in time to learn Benjamin Franklin's 13 virtues that he developed weekly as habits to build his personal character. By focusing on character virtue each week and regularly reviewing his progress, Franklin developed lifelong habits for his success. Who better than Benjamin Franklin to learn from? And with Deanna as a life coach and certainly a wonderful support of women and men, she has kind of incorporated her story along these virtues, and she explores them. And I love these, Deanna. It's reducing stress and to live a simpler life, develop strength in times of adversity, keep your word in relation to your responsibilities. Let the little things go to focus on what really matters. Choose joy in your thoughts and your words. Change your communication strategies for the better. Cultivate your faith to carry you through any crisis. And listen to the silent voice inside you that knows best. And Deanna, these are just so good to keep in mind no matter what we're doing. If we're a school teacher, if we're driving bus, if we're homeschooling, if we've got little ones that we're rocking at home today, if we're running a major project, construction project, all of these things intertwine in our lives to make us better, more effective citizens, right? And people. And the one that really interests me the most, can you elaborate on this one? Keep your word in relation to your responsibilities.
Do what you say and say what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Good simplicity. I was going to mention you read those and I went, oh, that's a good reminder. I haven't read those for a while. So, yeah, I sometimes read them and go, oh, those are good. Who wrote that? Oh, that was me.
Uh-huh.
I remember you just a little bit ago said practice makes perfect. And I like the phrase that Coach John Wooden said, perfect practice prevents poor performance.
Oh, that's
five
beautiful.
P's. It is powerful because sometimes our practice is kind of shoddy. And, you know, even in, just like you said, make your words line up with your actions. Sometimes our words are pretty yucky because they come out of our thoughts. And it just reminds me of I'm going to ask a hard question. What are you filling your ears and eyes with? Each and every day.
Mm-hmm.
You're here listening to Stacey's show, so that's a great start. But how are you putting it into practice all day long, each and every day, day in and day out? And how do we end our day? I have the habit of, you know, turning off my media so that blue screen isn't affecting my sleep, and then I read a book. How many of us sit and watch the news and let that blue screen continue to affect even into our sleep? And there are studies that show that what we focus on right before our sleep is what our brain tries to solve. So what good positive questions can you ask yourself and let your brain stew on that rather than, you know, trying to solve the union or, you know, the state problems? Because we've got to focus on, you know, what we're doing. So I always encourage people to, you know, change up what they're listening in their podcasts, in their radio. Back in the day, this is going to age me, when we were traveling around with our kids on different trips, we'd listen to books on tape. even CDs are going away. It's so funny. But I've got a friend who wrote his book at the same time I did. We were kind of accountability partners. And he, there's another term for it, but basically making your car a university.
He used to drive
200 miles one way to work each day. And he listened to, you know, Jim Rohn, John Maxwell, you name it, all of the, you know, the powerful Zig Ziglar. And when you invest 10,000 hours of listening and reading and filling your mind and ears, that's similar to getting a master's degree.
Yes.
10,000 hours. So if you've got, you know, an hour commute, 2 hour commute, why not be filling our minds with, you know, good stuff from powerful speakers?
And that brings you, you're kind of an active participant. I know for me, especially a little insight on Stacy and how she does. When I clean my house, I like to listen to podcasts and music, and it kind of motivates me, you know, to get going. We've always got something positive going on and feeding our mind and our soul. And even to these days, and certainly some of it is because my eyes, you know, I've got that transition in life and that season where I need to wear readers, right? So books online. I love to even listen to the Bible as I go. There's an app, a YouVersion app that I use, and it'll read it to me. And you catch things differently listening as you do reading. And so I think your self-motivation and stirring up your spirit is very important. And we've talked about that with our kids, right, Deanna? That be careful what your little eye see and your mind sees, what you think about, you bring about, all of those kinds of things. And so that's a very powerful illustration and reminder to us that we need to be mindful of what we're putting in and what we're listening to and what we're, in a sense, talking like YouTube. What are we subscribing to in our day-to-day life does affect us and influence us. And I know there's other characteristics. Is there another one you want to talk about or elaborate on that we just went over?
One of the ones that you just mentioned?
Right.
I'd like to go back to, because I know it was going into a break and I was kind of stumbling over my words, but I remember when my kids were little and I would get going too fast, you know, be concentrated on, you know, my work and my business. And I would have to, you know, be short with them. And then it was amazing. 2 weeks later, we had, you know, conversations, and all of a sudden, my kids were spitting out almost the same identical verbiage that I just spit out 2 weeks later. And it just sank my heart because I wanted them to have, you know, a better attitude. I was their main influence, and that's frightening sometimes, and they laugh about it to today. But I had to go back and change my words, change my attitude, and start reprogramming my verbiage that came out of my mouth. And guess what? 2 weeks later, my kids were spitting out that same verbiage. So it's amazing what we put in our kids' minds. I remember, you'll laugh at this, because Rena Tarbett was big in the Mary Kay world, and we would listen to the CDs that she put out. And my kids, it was so funny, I think maybe my son was 8, and the famous phrase that Rena was known for that we memorized was, she says, if your national sales director is great, be thankful. If your, you know, whatever regional senior director is available and supportive, be grateful. If your current director is available and supporting you, be thankful. If you have none of those, shut up and go to work.
Wow.
I love that. And my son just spit that out all the time. He'd go, Mom, just shut up and go to work.
I love it. I love it. Our kids out in the mouth of babes, right? How, Deanna, tell us how they can get a hold of your book and where they can find and connect with you. I want to just tell you that Deanna would be an amazing resource if you have a women's retreat or some sort of speaking engagement that you're looking for someone that would be motivating and encouraging. Deanna is that person, and she has been in my life. Deanna, as we wrap up here, thank you for your time. Let us know how people can get in contact. What's your websites?
My handle on Instagram and Facebook is Deanna Beckett with 2 N's and 1 T, and DeannaBeckett.com is the easiest way.
Okay. Thank you, Deanna. Cultivating your character, creating leadership habits to master your life. I've enjoyed my time with Deanna and with you this morning. Thank you for tuning in. Have a blessed day, my friend, and know that no matter what you're facing today, God can give you the strength to get over, around, and through it, right? Be encouraged and have a blessed day.